Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves at the top of Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Bet, that's 24b, and we are at the end of the top line. And this series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, so at the very end of the top line, where there are two diamond dots, we're quoting the Mishnah, and the Mishnah had said that a certain kind of person who is called a pocheach. So we had a slight disagreement about what a pocheach is. It's a person either who's wearing torn and tattered clothing, or possibly a person whose legs are visible, including who's barefoot and their legs are bare. So we said about that such a person whose clothes are in disarray or inadequate, that they can be poreis et shema, they can be the leader of the congregation for the beginning of shacharit, which would be chatzi kaddish, baruch hu, and at least the first bracha of shema, umetargim, and they can act as a translator for the Torah reading, but they cannot actually read from the Torah. So the Gemara asks a follow-up question about this pocheach. Be'a mine ula barav me'abaye. Ula Barav asked Abaye the question, Katan pocheach mahu sheyikra b'torah. What about a minor who is a pocheach, who has tattered clothing or his legs are revealed? Can he read from the Torah? Now, at first glance, it seems like a strange question, because you would think that if an adult pocheach can't read, that for sure a minor pocheach can't read. Usually minors are, it's harder to make an argument that they should read in the Torah than someone who has already achieved their majority. But it depends on what the reasoning is. If the reasoning is that he is sort of naked or partially naked, that he is not well enough clothed, then perhaps it's less important if he is a child. We don't care as much than if he is a grown-up. And that may explain why the Gemara's next question is about a naked person. Amar Lei, he responded to him. This is how Abaye responded. V'tibay lecha arum, what about a naked person? So you can meaning, why don't you ask the same question related to a naked person? Arum mai taima lo. What's the reason why a naked person can't read from the Torah? Now, it may seem obvious to you and to me that a naked person could not go into shul and read from the Torah, but what's the reason? So the answer is mishum kavod tzibur. In other words, it's not that the Torah prohibits exactly a naked person from reading in the Torah, but it is not according to the honor of the congregation. Hachanami, so there here too, mishum kavod tzibur, that it's about kavod tzibur. Now, it could be that the kavod tzibur is related to the nakedness, and that that's the primary issue, or it could be that originally we thought it was about the nakedness, and now we're seeing that there's a broader category of things that are not according to the honor of the congregation, and this falls into under that rubric. And the Gilyon HaShas here cites a number of other places in Shas where this topic of Kavod Tzibur is mentioned. We encountered one of them earlier, which is obviously a very different situation in which we said that women are, do not read from the Torah because of Kavod Tzibur. And that's not because they are naked, they could be dressed very tzanua, but it is for another reason, a broader category of things that are within the honor of the congregation. Okay, the last section of our Mishnah, as we go on, we're now six lines down, and in between the two diamond dots, it quotes our Mishnah again and says, Suma, a blind person, Poreis et Shema, can lead the beginning of the Shema service, Umitar game, and can also translate from the Torah. That was the opinion of the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda brings a dissenting minor opinion, who says that if a person was blind from birth, that they cannot even be Poreis al Shema. So that is, we had a machloket in the Mishnah regarding Suma, and we divided it between someone who became blind, or it seems like a general category of blindness that the rabbis talk about, and Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between people who have always been blind and people who became blind later in their lives. Tanya, we have a Braita, which is a similar kind of source to a Mishnah, but not included in the Mishnah. And so oftentimes the Gemara wants to compare what's said in the Mishnah with similar teachings that are in the Braita. Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yehuda. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, and remember, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who has the dissenting opinion. So the rabbis are saying to Rabbi Yehuda to argue why it is that a Suma ought to be able to be Poreis et Shema, to lead the congregation for the beginning of the prayers. And they say, Harbeit safu lidrosh ba merkava, v'lo ra'u ota mimehem. many people, harbe, tsafu, they have looked. Now, we used this word tsafu earlier as in the word sofim, to mean prophets or prophecy. Here, I don't think we mean that. I think we mean they have used their intellect. Lidrosh b'merkava means to investigate the part of Tanakh that deals with metaphysics. And the merkava, we call it, sometimes it's called metaphysics, merkava, but it refers to the first chapter of Ezekiel. Yechezkel, Hanavi, is sitting on the banks of the river in Galut after the temple has been destroyed, and he sees, he has a vision, a very terrifying vision, of God on his chariot leaving Jerusalem, and he sees all of the angels and the electricity and is stunned by the sight. So that section, that first chapter of Yechezkel, is considered to be an exceptionally difficult chapter to explain because it deals with the mysteries of God's presence. And what the rabbis are saying is that many people have attempted to teach it. Actually, there's a Mishnah that in Chagiga that says you're not allowed to teach it publicly, but you can teach it privately to students under certain conditions and to a certain number of students. But he says many people have tried to explain this first chapter of Yechezkel dealing with God's chariot, or sometimes described as metaphysics, v'lo ra'u ota mimehem, but they've never seen it. None of the people who are explaining the Merkava have ever seen the Merkava. Only Yechezkel saw it. So, in other words, it is possible for someone to be involved in something that they have never seen. So, therefore, a blind person ought to be able to lead the congregation, and to talk about, let's say, Yotzer HaMeorot, to talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars, even though they've never seen the sun, the moon, and the stars, just like a person can talk about God's chariot without ever having seen God's chariot. Rabbi Yehuda rejoins, he explains this. Hatam, there, regarding explaining God's chariot, Be'avanta deliba talya milta. Be'avanta deliba means the understanding of the heart. So avanta is like havana or bina, and deliba is like lave. So it has to do, and talya milta means the matter depends. So the matter here depends on the understanding of the heart. In other words, it's conceptual and intellectual. When you are describing God's chariot, you're reading the words in Yechezkel, and you are imagining it in using your brain. V'ha kamechavein, so you concentrate, v'yada, and you understand what it is that you're explaining. So it's all about a conceptual understanding. You don't have to see it. Hacha, but here, regarding a blind person leading the congregation, mishum hanahu. It's not about understanding what a sun would look like, and it's not easy to ask the question if a person who is congenitally blind can fully understand what the sun, the moon, and the stars look like because they've never seen them, but it doesn't matter. Because the issue here is whether or not you get hana'ah from them, whether or not you've ever enjoyed them. The only person who can lead the congregation is someone who gets enjoyment out of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And because the blind person is unable to see them, they're unable to get hana'ah from them. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that they can't lead the congregation. That is interesting because Rabbi Yehuda seems to limit it only to people who are congenitally blind. So in that case, they really have no concept of what the sun, the moon, and the stars might look like. Whereas someone who was seeing and then became blind would remember what it looked like, but they would still be unable to have hana here. So I'm not sure how to parse that exactly. The Gemara continues, v'halesle hana, but here they do not get any hana because they can't see it. V'rabbanan isle hana, but what about the rabbis who say that the suma, the blind person, can lead the congregation to be pores al shema? They also would have to agree that they don't get any hana. Not so fast. Rabbi Yossi, the rabbis hold like Rabbi Yossi. Titania, as we learn in another Braita, Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Kol yamai hayiti mitstayer al mikra zeh. My whole life, or for many years, I was bothered by this particular pasuk. And he quotes a pasuk from Devarim chapter 28. V'hayita mimashesh batzaharayim, and you will be feeling your way in the afternoon. Ka'asher yimashesh ha'iver ba'afila, just like a blind person feels their way in darkness. And this is part of the curses of the Jewish people. It's in the Tochacha that God is going to say, that God is saying that when he is cursing the Jews, or bringing punishments down upon them, that they will be groping down the street like a blind person who doesn't know where they are. But he has a question about this verse. V'chima ichpat le la'iver, what does it matter to a blind person, ben afela la'ora, whether it's dark or it's light? In other words, the verse says, like a blind person feeling their way in the darkness, but it's always dark to the blind person, whether it's light or dark, so what does it matter if it's light or dark? So he didn't understand that. That was his question. Until a certain occurrence happened to me. Pam echad, one time, hayiti mahalech b'ishon laila, I was walking in the dead of night, va'afela, and it was very, very dark, v'ra'iti suma, and I saw a blind man. Shahaya mahalech baderech, he was walking on the way, va'avuka b'yado, and he had a torch in his hand. Amarti lo, I said to him, and he must have been a younger man, Bini, my son, avuka zu lamalacha, what do you need a torch for? He could see, I guess, I don't know whether he was wearing eye patches, or he could see that his eyes were rolled up or something. He could tell that he was blind. So he said to him, why do you need this torch? Amarli, and the blind man said to me, Kol zman she'avuka biyadi, as long as I have the torch in my hand, b'nei adam ro'in oti, other people will see me, u'matzilin oti, and they will save me, mina pechatin, u'mina kotzin, u'mina barkanin, from my ditches, and from thorns, and from brambles. So, in other words, the hana that the blind person has from light, from this light of the torch in this case, but also from, let's say, the sun, the moon, and the stars, from the me'orot, is not that he personally can enjoy them, but because of the light that they cast on the world, other people are able to see and to help the blind man. So in other words, I think it means that because he is part of a community, or because light helps all of humanity and the civilization in which he lives, he is also an indirect beneficiary of the light, and therefore he can lead the congregation. That takes us up to the next Mishnah. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.